This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hey Marnie, what do you think about Hollywood?
Hollywood? More like Hollyweird.
Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amaasri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. How is everyone doing? I personally am doing both quite fantastic and absolutely horrible. But, you know, what's new? Today I am joined by a good friend of mine, Marnie. Hey!
Hey! Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a university student doing media and film. I dabble in some of the creative arts that you see around Otago.
Yeah.
And I am planning one day to be a game arts designer. Yeah.
That's so
cool. Kind of writing for video games and that kind of stuff.
I can't believe I said you're my good friend and then this is the first time I'm hearing about this, guys. I'm so sorry.
I'm keeping it on the down.
On the but down, yeah. On the DL. Yeah, for sure. How is that going though? Like, with your studies and everything?
I mean, I'm hoping to do another degree at the end of this year to go away to Canterbury and do a bit more of that there because they have a whole digital screen.
Right. Yeah.
They rebuilt the entire teachers' campus, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they've got like a cinema and all these cool things in there. And they filmed a movie called Happy Days with Professor Sprout from Harry Potter.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah. And it's about three nuns and a Māori boy going on a trip.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. It was exploding on my feed at one point earlier.
Yeah, so they filmed a lot of the car scenes in the university and got a lot of the students to help. And that's because most car scenes nowadays are never filmed outside.
Right.
They are filmed by a 360-degree projector and then one over the top. So it's kind of like a dome. But the one on the top reflects shadows of trees and light and everything. So yeah, everything you see nowadays is actually not
real.
Yeah. Hate to say it, guys.
It's actually so fantastic to see how much film and media has changed over the years. And guys, I don't know, I'm kind of a professional at my job because that was a perfect segue into today's topic, which is talking about Hollywood and film, media, and basically just, you know, how much it's evolved or devolved, positives and the negatives. But I think we can both agree right now, I think there's a little bit more negative at the forefront of a lot of discussions at the moment.
Hollywood is Hollyweird, as we were saying.
It is
a place where it's almost terrifying to be an actor or actress. And also, if you're in the business of, you know, making art, at any point you could be fired or made homeless or redundant.
Yeah.
It's crazy how quickly they can overturn you. I mean, there were so many protests and strikes for the writer's strike. Actor strike and all these things. I think, actually, ironically, I remember reading something about this. Dwayne Johnson, you know, The Rock.
Yeah.
He donated something million to the cause. And I just remember being I didn't know he was cool like that, you know?
I don't know, he was down like that.
I was watching Fast Five the other day for class.
His name is The Rock.
I know.
Down to earth.
Yeah, but I was watching Fast Five the other day and I was just going, oh my God, he's so oily.
What?
They had him oiled up.
And I was probably his appeal.
Yeah, and I was just remember thinking, oh, he seems so serious and scary. There's no way he's so, you know,
chill
and down to earth.
Yet
he, you know, really cares about these people, his writers and the other actors and stuff, and he wants people to succeed, which is so cool.
No, that's so true. It's so good to have, because Celebrities, they have a platform, right? So yeah. What they do means a lot, mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, you shouldn't do this, but a lot of people do put them up on a pedestal, and everything they do is like watched. So to do things like, you know, donating charity or supporting a cause that they really believe in, like that all makes like a really strong impact. So it's good to see, like, for example, Mark Ruffalo, he's another one who I can think of. He's so, like, genuinely, I didn't think Hulk was cool like that.
Yeah, like, yeah. He is always protesting.
Yeah, he's so vocal about being pro-Palestinian and everything like that.
Yeah, no, he's crazy good. He's, you know, at these ceremonies and award shows, and people will ask him, like, who are you wearing tonight? And he goes, oh, I'm wearing Valentino. But the most important thing we talk about tonight is the genocide.
Yeah.
And then I think that's just, it's really good of him. It's good to see an actor. I think he's had, you know, a lot of controversy and consequences even from the Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
I think he was banned from some award shows and ceremonies.
I'm not surprised because he's so he's so proactive.
And then I think he's lost some roles or something.
Yeah. He's also lost some friends, according to him. This might be hearsay. I'm not quite sure. He said that he lost some friends and like how he was really surprised at like the sides of friends that he saw that he never did before.
Yeah.
He never stated who it was, but people was speculating that it could have been the guy who played Hawkeye.
Yes. Yeah. I had a sneaky suspicion it would be something to do with Marvel. And I was going through, I'm like, oh, you know, maybe not them. Because, you know, it wouldn't be like, I'm not putting them on a pedestal, but who's the other Spider-Man?
Andrew Garfield.
Yes. He's been quite proactive about things in the past, so I'm like, it wouldn't be him.
Andrew Garfield's so chill. I didn't think I could have a crush on him more, but...
Yeah. That's our Spider-Man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but no, people are... And then the girls from Scream, the new Scream series, I think she spoke out about Palestine and she got fired.
Yeah. Yes.
And then Jenna Ortega was like, oh no, I can't come back for the next movie because I'm filming, you know, Wednesday. Oh no. And then they're like, what are we going to do? The main two actresses have left the plot.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to get back Naomi. Who's the original Sydney from Scream?
I have no idea.
This is going to bother me for the rest of the
Naomi something.
They had to get her back and it was a flop.
Oh, really?
I don't think Scream did very well. Whatever edition, 7, 8.
I have no idea. I honestly didn't even think it was going on until that whole controversy. Like, it was still, like, going on and things like that. And that they were still making movies until that whole controversy happened. And I was just like, yo, that's, like, crazy work.
I'm a prolific horror lover fan, so I feel quite embarrassed that I don't remember the name.
Really?
I'm sorry
to disappoint you. I hate horror.
No!
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Okay. What subgenre? Is it, like, gore, bubblegum horror?
What is bubblegum horror?
Bubblegum horror, I think it's more of a recent term, actually, but it's kind of like the campy horror that you see. There's like this show called, this movie called Final Girls, and it takes place where, I can't remember their names, but they go into the horror film that her mother was in like the 80s or whatever. And it's all got this, you know, they have to complete the film and it goes off on horror tropes and it makes fun of them.
That sounds really fun, actually.
It's really good. Yeah. It's got the guy who played Kato in The Hunger Games. That's like, and Nina Dobrik, I think, from...
Dobrik
from Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
And, it's just good. It's these kind of funny... pink poppy.
That sounds fun. Yeah. I'm just unfortunately just a really, really strong coward.
No, nice.
Yeah, like maybe because I grew up with like a lot of like folk tales and things like that. It just ghost stories in particular just like really scared me like deep in the soul till now. So I just can't touch it. However, weirdly enough, I love reading about horror stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it's different when it's read. I mean,
yeah. It's a different type of fear.
I think when it's visuals, like with the sound and
it's the
imagery,
sound that gets me.
It's always the sound. If I watch these things and they take the sound off of horror films and put like a funny song in the background,
mm-hmm.
and it changes it completely. And I'm going, oh, well, you know,
oh, wait,
Annabelle, Annabelle looks so stupid in this scene, or the nun from The Conjuring or whatever. I go, oh, get over yourself.
But I saw someone do that with Harry Potter.
Yeah, and it changes it completely. Yeah, I think the scariest thing, though, for me personally, is dolls for some reason.
Yeah.
I grew up with a lot of, like, religious iconography and all that kind of stuff. So when I see it in film and it's not, like, being used, like, to protect people, like, in The Exorcist, like, that's not scary now because it was made in 1979.
Right.
But, you know, when I see something like, oh, a priest has to go in and, you know, get a demon out of a young girl's body or a doll and they don't work...
Yeah,
I freak out because I'm like, what is your next, what is your backup plan
yeah,
here?
Yeah, 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 for sure.
If the other religious, if the other spiritual guider doesn't work, what are you going to do? And it scares me.
You know, it's funny that you, you know, that we've stumbled upon this topic because a lot of people like wonder, I think, why do a lot of like horror movies use a lot of like religious symbolism or theme, right? And I think, I don't know how true this is, I'm not a scholar, but like, my theory is that it's because like religion already has such a strong level of faith. That's like a strong
basis.
So
when it goes against it?
Exactly.
It's people like, what feel do you like, do now?
Yeah, people feel like there is, even though they don't logically believe it, their soul is just like, because they are like religious and grew up with that.
I grew up religious, and even though I'm not really in that faith anymore, every time I see some demon or something in like the a show or movie, I'm like,
someone get the cross, someone get the
garlic. We need every single priest, every single religion in this room to fix this right now. I am terrified.
Yeah, get a priest, get a monk.
Get all the Buddhists, we need them in the room.
Get an imam.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I think the scariest thing for sound that they can do in horror movies is when they get like a 1950s or 60s song and then play it while the... So I used to make short horror films.
Oh, yeah, cool.
For high school. And
flex, all right.
No.
No, I'm like, kidding.
Yeah,
that's
in
so
high
cool.
school.
That's so. So cool, though.
And we got to use a convention, and I chose to use Songs Through the Decades to reflect how creepy something was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it started off in the 1980s, and it was I'm Your Man by Wham.
Okay.
Yeah, and the plot followed these two girls moving into a new place, and one of the friends, who was played by my friend Isabella, who I sincerely apologize. She hates being referenced in this because I put her through the worst. I left her out in the cold.
Oh, no.
And it was meant to be a summer scene, but in Dunedin, it's never really summer.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was meant to be they're moving in and it's all summer and pop and fun. And this guy, you know, falls in love with her. And the other friend's kind of jealous that, you know, she's been taken away from her and that he's, you know, putting all his attention on her.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to the act two and it's set in the 70s now. And it's Chiquitita by ABBA. And it's this chasing scene through the woods. And this is where Bella almost got like hypothermia.
Oh, no.
Because we were in, I was in a t-shirt and shorts and she was in a white sundress.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the coldest days in Dunedin. It had frost. And our plan was just, we just got a bunch of water and we just like kind of watered away the frost. And in between the cuts, she was wearing this huge puffer jacket like they do in actors.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad because the next scene was me chasing her through the woods with like blood and gore and everything. And I had a radio and I had to kind of, you know, knock her out in the scene.
Right, right, right.
And we had to film it so many times, it took the entire day.
Oh, my goodness.
And the next day, we came to school, and because I had made the fake blood to be cheap, I had used, it was so disgusting, it was tomatoes, beetroot, anything with red dye.
Yeah.
To make it really potent. And it had stained our faces.
No.
So she was covered. Luckily, most of it got on her dress.
Yeah.
But I had blood dripping down my face. So for about a week, I had a red... right half of my face, like Harvey in Batman, you know, Two-Face,
or
whatever.
Yeah,
and I looked like that. It was so scary.
That's so funny, though.
And then the last scene...
For the plot.
Yeah, and then the last scene was set in the 60s, the last act, and it was Be My Baby by the Ronettes.
Okay.
And it was the dinner scene, and the one who's not dead, the one girl who's not dead, was having dinner with the guy that liked the girl.
Yeah.
and they were eating a suspicious-looking meat.
No.
Yes, yes. And then it kind of flickered between the guys and the perspective, because you never fully see the guy was the thing that I wanted to have.
No, that's really cool.
Cartoons, like the Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah.
You know how you never really saw Mia, the...
Yes, Mrs. I know exactly
Yes, the ginger woman. You
the
never
secretary?
Saw, yes, you never saw her face.
Yeah.
It was always the legs. Or in Tom and Jerry, you only ever saw the legs because that's what, you know, the children see and everything when they look at their parents. And that's why they did that in cartoons. And so you never see him fully. You only see aspects of him. And at the end, you finally see his face, but it flickers between all these other people. And I just literally said to all my class, can you please come to my house at 7 p.m.? You will only need to do a two-second clip. And they were eating meat, and it flickered between them. And I still think if I ever made a movie, this would be super cool to have, like a real movie.
Yeah.
And you realize that it's not a one-person thing. It's like been through this before, you know, and it's not like one man. It's all these men.
Right.
And they didn't know that that was the message of the film, that it was kind of like, I hate you. So when they saw it, they kind of went, oh, this is what it was for. I didn't know I was the bad guy. And I was like, well, yes, I'm the literal bad guy by, you know, killing my best friend and then serving her for dinner. But no, these people were not very happy. But I loved that the last scene was so creepy. It was Be My Baby by the Ronettes. And then it was the people eating. And then it was my character's... I was only in this because we didn't have enough people.
Yeah.
And it was my character. Yeah. Character, like, eating the meat, but it had turned bloody.
Right.
And it, like, cut off. And the title, Lubby Nuck, which doesn't mean anything. Everyone thought it was French. And it flips around, kind of like that scene in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets where Tom Riddle's moving his name around.
Yeah, yeah. It's not called it's not an anagram. It's something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it moves around and it's cannibal. It's just cannibal backwards, and no one realized until it went up to actual, you know, production and viewing.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, that's what your film's about? It's about cannibals? And I was like, yes, but it's a deeper message, guys. But
that's so creative, especially something that you came up with in high school. Like, I genuinely think that you've got such, like, cool vision. I genuinely hope that your future is, like, so bright.
Yeah, but thank you. But the whole thing with the creepy 60s song is that has stuck in my head for the rest of time. I am always thinking, like, whenever I watch a movie now, I'm like, it's the creepy 1950s song.
You know that movie? Oh, crap. I was thinking about it before and I don't remember the name now. But it was like, you know, about, I forgot.
Just tell me and I might know.
It's about, like, there's a black guy who is visiting his white girlfriend's parents.
Oh, Get Out.
Yes.
Instantly.
You know,
these Redbone by Childish Gambino was, like, popularized by that song. Sorry, I just really love that song.
No, fair. It's like the whole thing with the Run Rabbit Run.
Oh, that's so scary.
That scared me so much.
Yes.
It was so good.
It was so good. Have you seen the alternative endings for that?
Yeah, the one where he gets arrested?
Yeah, there's one where he actually kills his girlfriend. Is it the girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Girlfriend, fiance, something.
Yeah,
partner.
Yeah. Yeah, his partner. And then the police shows up and he gets, you know, arrested, booked and put him in prison, I think.
Yeah.
And then...
And it's like spun as like a black on white crime.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but they had to change it because audiences were so like, no, there's already, it's so disheartening.
Yeah. But it's also reality.
Yeah, it is reality. Because it was made by, you know, Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peele, I think.
Yeah. One of the... And he made that. And I always see those guys doing comedy. And I'm like, you need to make more of these films because I think...
His other... You know, actually, it's interesting that you bring him up, right? Because he had another film called Us.
I've watched that. Love it.
I've never seen it. However, he was on a talk show and he was just saying how... Like, he didn't say it directly, but he was saying how, like, you should combine the two titles together. And it says Get Out Us, Get Out US. He's telling people to get out of the US. And then the whole thing, like, you know, the whole thing with the ceasefire agreements and stuff like that. And his name was written, like, his name was run on the side of, like,
he's
against,
so cool.
against the ceasefire.
Oh.
Yeah. I was, like, super shocked.
What? Oh, sorry. I was about to be like, oh, he's.
No.
What?
I was, like, super shocked as well. I was just like, ain't no way. Because everything that he's done so far just seems So this move just seems so uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
And then there were like a lot of theories about his agency, which I'm not going to get into because I'm going to get canceled. But like, if you guys are curious, like, look it up. I might be wrong, like, you know.
Damn, you'll have to tell me after the show. I really want to hear this now.
Yeah, you guys, like, totally just search it up.
Yeah, because a lot of the skits he makes with Key and Peele are very funny, but they're always kind of, I don't want to say, like, liberal, because
they've always got a message.
Yeah, yeah, because I feel like in America they very determine it between liberal and, you know,
Republican.
Like Republican, Democrats, all that kind of stuff. And it's a two-party system, and they're very split. So whenever I say something's kind of liberal, I feel like I'm chucking someone into a box.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate doing that. Yeah. And I think, getting a bit, like, off-topic, but, yeah, the two-party system...
There's no such thing as a topic on this show.
Yeah. The two-party system is very flawed, and I feel sorry for everyone living in America.
I totally forget, like, how many people, like, live in America, mm-hmm. but... It's genuinely, like, so big. But you always see the worst types of people, like, highlighted on the internet.
Yeah. And things or like in that, movies sucks. And shows.
Yeah.
I keep getting this one about the girl with the vocal fry.
What's that? I mean, I know vocal fry, but who's this
it's, about? No, it's this little skit that someone did, and it's about a barista at a coffee shop with the vocal fry, and then the guy comes in, and he's like, you don't speak like that, speak normal, blah, 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 blah. And then and it's kind of like those videos where it's like, feminist gets owned.
Oh.
And I just, but the guy who made it, he's not, I don't know, he made it and then he was like, oh, it was clearly like a power trip fantasy. And I just kind of thought, let the girls speak like that. Like,
it's just let people live their own lives.
Yeah.
If they're not harming
anyone. If I want to speak like this, I'm going to speak like this, and there's nothing you can, like, do about it.
That sounds really annoying, but hey, you do you.
Yeah. You know? Maybe he had a point.
Okay, maybe not that far.
Yeah.
No, but it's really hard with, like, films these days because I feel like a lot of this messaging that you would get in films, especially in kids' films, it's getting dumbed down so much that I actually, like, want to choke somebody, which is, like, horrible.
No, I get it, because kids' films used to be so complex. The artistry was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look it up, The Aristocrats.
Yeah.
I always say to myself, and I feel like such a, you know, like, old...
Like
person.
A boomer.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, when my kids watch this, they're not going to be watching this Paw Patrol stuff.
Yeah,
they're
back
gonna
in
be,
my day.
Back in my day, we watched Shrek and we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will be, you know, if I ever did have kids...
iffy about that right now.
I would definitely, like, show them older stuff because, I mean, they look at newer things. And they said, like, the over-sensory of new shows have made kids kind of act out and more crazy and kind of...
Cocomelon? Who said that?
Who said that?
I saw someone analyze it, and they were basically saying how the way Cocomelon is shot, that the clip is no longer than 3 seconds. There's
AI.
So many... Oh, AI is another thing as well. But
they
clips,
can use that now.
The clips are no longer than 3 seconds. There's always, like, sound stimulus and, like, colors. Like, that's brilliant. And it's, like... It's frying the
kids'
the systems that are supposed to be developed at this time.
Yes.
So if you think, like, you know, Miss Rachel, she's all about, or like, oh, what was it that we had? Like Blue's Clues, like growing up.
Yes,
you know?
I love Blue's
It was
Clues.
All about, yeah, me too. It was all about, like, creativity and, like, teaching kids.
Yeah,
these
and
lessons.
There was a calm to it, you
Yeah,
know?
It was calming, but now it's so overstimulating.
I mean, even High Five, that was so.
High Five was so good.
Even though it was so, like,
yeah,
all the time. They did have bits where they would go, and now we're going to do art today. And they would always have something colorful in the background or something. But that was more to get the kids' attention. This is genuinely a cheap shot animation that is overloading their senses.
Yeah.
And it's so horrible. But the also other thing I wanted to say was Disney films and Pixar films now, they're so afraid to have a concrete message in their things.
Yeah, it's, like, ridiculous.
I had to say it, even, what's the show?
Which one?
The movie, The Madrigal Family.
We
don't talk about Bruno one.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. The Madrigal Family.
Why do I know their name, but not the name of the Encanto?
Frick's sakes. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, even that, I feel like they kind of, the Abuelita was, villain until she wasn't and she was redeemed. Mm-hmm. It's like we can have these people out there that, you know, just are bad and you don't have to hang out with them. Yeah. In the end, it was like, oh, we forgive her because she's family and it's, you know, you can't, you have to forgive family. It's like, no, sometimes your family's horrible.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do horrible things and you don't have to live with them forever and, you know, support them just because you were born into the family. Just, you know, the whole blood is thicker than water.
It's false. That's not even the real saying. It's the, what is it? The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, which is the exact opposite of blood is thicker than water.
I always thought of like...
So your chosen family is thicker
I always
than...
thought of the Avicii lyric. Was it Avicii? It is like, I know the water's sweet, but no.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know water is sweet, but blood is thicker. And then I'm just like... I don't know, Avicii.
There's a lot of lyrics, there's a lot of like sayings, right? Like, what's it? Curiosity killed the cat, but it's curiosity brought it back.
No, but satisfaction brought it back.
Satisfaction brought it back. And
it's like they get
jack
cut off
of all trades,
but master of none.
Yeah, but better than a master of one.
Hey, Buzz.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Master of none. Yeah, but better than
I had. My mum described that to me the other day. She was like, you're like a jack of all trades but a master of none. She's like, you're kind of good at a lot of things but not really one thing. And I kind of went, oh.
But that's a good thing. It's better than a master of one.
Yeah, and then my sister like chimed in. She was like, no, she just has ADHD. I had to be like, whoa.
Don't
bring my diagnosis up in here, guys. What the hell? Yeah, but the kids' films, they're not concrete. I mean, I think after... It's like the Barbie movies. The Barbie movies I always loved. Did you watch those?
I loved the Barbie movies.
Yeah, Rapunzel, Swan Lake. They were always very, very soft childhood. And eerie. Yeah. And, but they always were like, this is the villain. This is how we, you know.
And it always had really good meaning.
Yes.
Can I? Sorry, I'm like cutting you off for a second. But like there's...
Talk, Quinn.
Do you remember Princess and the Pauper?
Yes.
There is this one song, till this day, I will die on this hill, right? Mm. But like... Every song in there, every, like, plot line, like, there's no such thing as a perfect movie, of course, except for this.
except for this one.
But there's this one line, literally in the beginning of the movie, because people are like, she's a, like, because media literacy is dead now.
Yeah.
They're like, she's a princess. Like, what the frick? Like, she's living life, you know? It's so completely different from Erica, who's literally an indentured servant. Oh, and I'm like, yes, it's different, but they're all suffering in their own ways. There's this lyric in one of the songs that says, every gift that she gets comes with strings.
Oh.
So everything is political. Nothing in her life is genuine. She can't marry the person that she loves. She has to do it for the kingdom.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Do you know that one movie that was filmed in New Zealand a while ago, Lanark Castle?
Yes.
Yes.
With Austin and Ellie?
Yes. I hated that movie.
They filmed it near my street, which I'm not going to dox myself. I'll just say it's in Ulverston.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to find me from that.
I
remember walking past and being like, "What is?" And I saw her, and I just remember I think there's this real thing in New Zealand where we see a celebrity and we don't instantly go up to them and go, "Oh my god!" Except for, you know, unless they're some really young kids watching like a TikTok influencer, Jay Mango dude.
I have no idea.
It's crazy, but you know they talk about going to New Zealand actors and celebrities, and they're like. They know who you are. They were thinking, wow, no one knows who I am here. It's so secluded. And it's like, no, I know who you are.
Yeah, it's just
we
have respect.
We don't care. So, yeah, I saw her and I was like, oh, yeah, you were on that show once, but I didn't say it to her. I just was like, oh. And then I kept walking because I was like, I got to be at school.
I'm not
stopping.
Yeah, priorities. Yeah. But that ending of the movie, because it's not exactly the same as Princess and the Pauper, but in the plot of Annalise where – Princess Annalise has to marry this king because the country's poor, right? But then in the end, she finds like a jewel.
That saves them.
Yeah, so it's like now they're rich again, so she can marry
who she
wants.
Yeah, they can go back to the mines.
Whereas in that film, which whatever the name is, I forgot, he has to marry this girl. And that girl is nice, by the way. And, like, there's nothing about her that makes her a villain. And then, but it's for the sake of his country, right? But then at the end, he ends up with the female lead, Austin and Ellie.
Yeah,
girl.
But they never solved
anything. Your country's still in like debt or whatever.
I think that's
horrible.
The issue with Netflix films. Because sometimes Netflix will come out with an absolute banger. I'm like, oh, damn you. And then
I'm falling into the system again.
Yeah. And then, or like a TV show, and then they'll cancel it for something like Riverdale. And then they will make something like that movie or The Princess Switch or something.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. And I think it is very that, you know, Hallmark movie.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
Christmas time, so let's make it about, like, princesses.
Yeah.
And my mum watches those. And she goes, and she had an argument for it, which I kind of had to be like, you know what? Yes. And she said, we don't want action. We don't want plot. We want something to fold our laundry to. Because at the end of the day, you come home. I hate when people say at the end of the day. Sorry, I hate that.
Oh.
I really icked myself out there. At the end of the day, it's night, people. But after a long day at work, you come home and you want to switch something off and just kind of melt away. And that's kind of a struggle for mums. And I guess that's why, like, so many people put Hallmark movies and silly romance movies in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is a kind of a lot of sexism.
Yeah, yeah.
In kind of, you
who
know,
said
these
that?
Film bros. And these film bros are always going, you know, oh, women don't know amazing plots like Pulp Fiction and The Godfather and all these other things. I'm like, yes, they were directed by a man, but who edited them?
Yeah.
It's always a woman.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you look up some of your favorite film bro movies, guys, I'm looking at you, you will notice that it's always edited by a woman. And the thing with editing a movie is, yes, a director can shoot it. He can look at all these kind of great things. I say he because it's often directors that are male.
Yeah.
Because holy weird. And
yeah. And we haven't even touched upon that yet, by the way. It's just,
and then they have a woman edit it behind the scenes because they always have a creative vision. Mm-hmm. They know the story that people want to see from both sides of the story. And they can go, oh, this is visually amazing. Let me add this in. And it is visually amazing, but what does it, you know, provide for us? So they shoot, you know, 12 hours of film. And then the editor has to come and go, no, honey, we're not going to have a six-hour movie.
Yeah.
We're going to have 2 hours and 20 minutes max,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to do this, this, and this. And yes, you go away now. You're so good. Yeah. And I just think all the good movies out there are edited in some capacity by women.
Yeah.
The
Hollywood or, like, the media and film industry is so heavily, like, leaning towards men,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, really, really unfair. You know, actually, if we go back to, like, just movies in general, you were saying how, you know, being an actor and actress is, like, really mm-hmm. hard. But I'd argue that literally everyone involved always has, like, some, like,
yeah.
especially the crew.
The crew either don't get credited or
they don't get paid, which is why the whole writer strike happened.
Yeah.
It's always the director that's always being named.
Exactly.
The writer in some capacity, but not even, like, ever.
I think Emma Watson talked about this, actually, in why she took a break from acting.
Mm.
And I could be mean and say stuff about her acting abilities, but I won't. No, but she said it's fine being in a film, but you know that you're never truly being yourself. Like, you can never, not that she wants to act herself, but she can never make the decisions.
Yeah.
Because you're always someone else's kind of doll in a big,
like,
playhouse. Yeah, so the director really is the child making these plot lines and going, oh, now this person's going to talk to this person, like a little kid in the dollhouse, and they're just kind of a wooden figure, you know?
Yeah.
You're a Barbie doll, and they're just primed to look good and say a few lines and cry and be like, now cry, now be funny. And it's very, yes, one-trick pony, now do it again, do it again.
Yeah.
You know, dance for me, monkey, dance. And she said, you know, if I ever came back to acting, I would want in some capacity to direct it. And
yeah,
I guess that is true because the directors do get all the credit. They get all the say.
Mm-hmm.
They get to, you know, decide. I guess in some ways they're limited by producers and that, but they get to decide who, you know, runs the show, who gets to go up in the world.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a shot lingering on this person for a little bit longer, like in the end of X, which I know you don't like horror films, but there's at the end of Pearl, it's good. There's this movie series filmed in New Zealand.
Okay.
And it's X, Pearl, and Maxine. And it was with, the girl with the no eyebrows. She's very famous in her capacity. If you know her.
Oh, wait a minute. Is she, like, really tall?
No, she's kind of short. But she, X show movie, she was in that. And there's a scene at the end where it's just her smiling and crying.
Oh.
And they decided not to cut. So she just kept crying for, like, 3 whole minutes and smiling really awkwardly. And they put that in for the full credits.
Oh, really?
And it worked really well. Yeah. But it is very much like, now, puppet, keep going,
yeah,
keep going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and the director decides this. But it's kind of like, why? Why are we forcing these people to do these things? And Helena Bonham Carter even said when she was doing stuff with Tim Burton,
yeah,
who they were, you know, romancing at the time, and she was doing
Edward Scissorhands?
No, the pie one. Sweeney Todd.
Yeah,
Sweeney Todd with Johnny Depp, and she would have to be like, she had all these ideas and stuff, but she would have to pass it off to Johnny Depp to tell Tim Burton because he didn't respect her opinion. And it's like,
of course.
They were dating, though.
Yeah, weird.
And it's like, if you're, he kind of saw her as like this one faceted muse.
Yeah.
And it's like, my muse can't talk, she can't speak, let her perform, and that's all she'll do.
Yeah.
And like, she had to pass all these things off to a guy who would then be like, and then Tim Burton would be like, that is amazing, Johnny. Let's put that in the film. And she would just have to sit back there and nod. And I think that's horrible.
That's horrible, yeah. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, that sucks.
Directors.
Boo-hoo. They suck. I was going to say something about directors before, but like, I was so enraptured in your story.
Sorry.
I totally forgot what my point was going to be. No, you're totally fine. I think it was something about like how, you know, being a director is like a male-dominated field,
yeah.
Right? And one of the other reasons that Emma Watson, she said that she took a break as well, is because she spent a lot of her childhood and teenagehood with Harry Potter. Everyone there is like family. And then coming off of that, she did not realize that that wasn't the majority.
Mm-hmm.
You go to work, you don't foster relationships.
Yeah.
And that, like,
she said she tried to make friends with these people and they weren't interested.
Yeah, like, it's just, she's been burned before and she doesn't want to, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, like, totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I guess that's, like, quite heartbreaking as well to have, like, this, like, perceived vision of, like, your future and, like, just break, but in the most harshest way possible, because of course paparazzi was involved. Speaking of paparazzi, the whole thing about them is the countdown, and then her birthday
lying, they would lie on the pavement and try to get pictures up her skirt.
Yeah.
And then they posted it on the New York
some big publication.
It was something British, guys. And then on the front page. And I just thought, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. It sucks.
That happened to me when I just freshly turned 18. She is so amazingly calm for that. I would have crashed out.
Yeah. And that's why you see a lot of celebrities that do crash out.
Amanda Bynes.
I was just thinking about Amanda Bynes, Britney Spears. Britney Spears was literally a slave to her label.
Yes.
Literally, they call her contract the Britney Spears contract. Like, going forward, because that was
Lindsay
such
Lohan.
A big, yeah.
Child actors left and right.
Nickelodeon. Just Nickelodeon, right?
Ooh.
I won't get too in detail of it because we don't really have much time. And I feel like it deserves its own episode. If we just think about like Nickelodeon's, their logo is literally just a foot. And if anyone doesn't really know anything about it.
And a splash, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you guys are interested, just let me know and I'll bring Marnie back on again. We'll talk about this controversy.
Yeah, we'll talk about.
But if you guys,
Macari,
I'm not sure.
Quiet on set and all those other things.
Yeah. Drake Bell. No, that's the character's name. Is it
Drake Bell? Are you talking about Drake and Josh?
The one who plays Sam in Sam and Cat.
Yeah, Janet McCurdy.
Yeah, Janet McCurdy?
Yeah, something.
Yeah, yeah. She wrote a book, I'm Glad That My Mom Died.
Yes.
And apparently it was really hard-hitting. I'm so glad she's, like, out of the band now. A lot of these child actors get so, so abused behind set.
It's always, like, people like Perez Hilton also, like, doing crazy paparazzi stuff as well. The girl who played in the little Cindy Lou Who?
Not sure.
In the Grinch.
Oh, with the little nose.
She talked about how she was performing with her band and she was on her period and he took a picture up her underwear, like of her underwear.
Oh my God.
With her tampon string. And it posted it. And it's like,
that's
low life scum is very present.
Yeah.
And he's still walking around.
Actually, speaking of still walking around, there's so many horrible, evil people in the world right now who should be arrested. And you guys, of course, know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, my God, like, why? How are we living in this kind of world where everyone knows that these people are guilty and we can't do anything about it.
I know. I was talking to someone the other day and they said, I almost don't want the Epstein files to be released because, you know, what horrible things will be in there. And I said, yes, there'll be horrible things. It will be the worst things you can imagine. But we have to get that stuff released. Yeah. Because what else are you going to – like, how will we know what – you know, if it brings down politicians, bring them down. Mm-hmm. If it brings down Democrats, Republicans,
but that's
things,
the thing.
Like, you got to
– nothing's changed.
Nothing's
which
changed.
Which is ridiculous.
And they're going to say it's AI.
Yeah, of course. With the, there's also another thing why they're, like, you know, bringing AI, like, to be – you know, the language around AI, they're saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't fight it. Like, you should – it's just – it's going to happen no matter what. It's like they're wording it in a way that it's inevitable. But it's not inevitable. It's these guys that are trying to push it. Have you heard about all those, like, you know, graduation speeches?
Yes. And, like, then, the, and then the names getting cut from the
– yes.
They would be going up, just for context, guys, and they would have a list of names for people to walk across the stage,
yeah,
and AI would pronounce it because, I guess, like, the average white professor couldn't say, like, a last name.
I think it was the AI program. They were the one – the program made the names, so they were supposed to take all the graduates and then put them in the list.
Oh, really?
But then they missed a lot of students.
I thought they were pronouncing them.
Was it? I'm actually not sure.
I'm thinking about one, I think it was in, like, Texas, and they were, like, pronouncing some names, but it's happened a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just using it for the sake of using it.
I've got, like, four cases of, like, people just using this time to advertise AI, and I'm so glad these students are, like, booing these, like, stupid people off the stage.
And they said, oh, we've missed some names.
Yeah.
I guess you'll just have to keep – you said you won't be able to come up. There'll be plenty of opportunities for photos later.
Yeah,
I apologize. And that was it. And then people were booing them. And I'm like, yeah, boo.
It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. Like, if we can't use AI in our work, which is totally valid, but if we can't use AI in our work, you cannot use AI to do a graduation ceremony, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get this piece of paper, and you can't even say my name once on stage. Mm-hmm. That is ridiculous, and that is, like, an absolute insult to anybody who invested any time, money into your institution. So I'm really passionate about AI.
No, I'm kind of just letting it wash over me because I know I'll get really mad about it.
I'm glad that I've found my people.
Oh, I am an AI hater from day one, baby.
Same. Yeah. I'm so scared about how the older generation is so attached to AI. They keep, like, dogging on us saying, like, oh, back in my day, like, you know, we had to actually work hard for the things that we do and stuff like that.
And now and it's then, taking, like, jobs away from people who actually want jobs. And
they're always
talking about a stupid, like, hypothetical, oh, you know, immigrants are taking away jobs from hardworking Americans, blah, blah, blah.
Ridiculous.
AI, a computer, is taking away jobs from artists, coders, so many people. It's like the whole... Oh, I need to calm myself down.
You know, to add, like, insult to injury, right, is these people, like, the immigrants, you know, you know, these, like, hardworking people who cannot sustain themselves, like, because the government's not helping them out, they have to go in and actually code and, like, train this AI only to be fired. So they have to train their replacement. It's so ridiculous. With Spotify right now as well, they fired the person who came up with the idea of Spotify Wrapped. That's why Spotify Wrapped sucks now, because it's made by AI.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Skinny, the mobile plan ad.
Saw that?
Ridiculous. I hate it.
I was coming back from, I think it was at the start of last year. Or something. I was coming back from somewhere on a plane, and I saw the ad, and I went, that's AI. And she was like, no, Marnie, it's not AI. I said, no, it's AI.
It's so clearly
and
AI.
And then, I started crashing out in the airport to the point where my mum was like, pick yourself up off the floor. Because I was going, what has the world come to?
Yeah, no, that's a valid
reaction.
And
the whole thing was they did a competition, and they would be like, oh, everyone, you know, put your name into this thing, and if you win, you will get to be the face of Skinny, and you will get a free lifetime plan, right?
Uh-huh.
So this old woman won. She gets a lifetime plan of free calls and stuff. Great, cool. She had to write away her rights as a model for this show, for these ads.
Yeah.
And I don't think she realizes that in that contract, it stipulates stuff like, we can use your imagery for advertisements of our products, but it doesn't specify what kind of imagery they can do.
Yeah.
They could hypothetically use, like, naked images of her.
Yeah.
The hot, you know, you
they
see
could,
a lot
like,
of
promote
revenge
white
porn.
Supremacy
yes,
stuff.
They can do anything because she has signed away her visual rights as a thing, as a model.
Yeah.
So she's thinking, oh, this is great. You know, I'm getting a lifetime plan. Girl, you're going to be dead in 10 years.
Yeah.
This imagery lasts forever.
I feel bad for, like, people like her, though, who genuinely have no idea. She just thinks, oh, fun competition, I win a lifetime plan. I was talking to somebody who used Skinny, and I was just like, you need to stop using Skinny because they're, like...
Yeah, I switched after
if
that.
If they're using AI to do stuff like the promoting, so this is stuff that we visually see, what are they doing behind the scenes? Like, who are they paying, really? And then he was like, oh, but, like, it's so cheap. It's, like, $9 a month or something like that. And I'm like, no wonder it's cheap. They're not paying anybody.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously stupid.
Like, we know about sweatshops, people.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people think, like, it doesn't exist. But sweatshops are freaking, like, probably the backbone of this economy. Like,
yeah.
But people don't realize it. They pretend
they, well, they
it's
do
not there.
Realize it and they don't want to.
Exactly. Yeah. Guys, stop shopping at Shein. Please, guys. And it's not just Shein, but that's just the one that's coming into my head right now.
Shein, Temu.
Yeah, Shein, Temu and stuff like that. It's like,
oh, it's so cheap. Blah, blah.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
Use your critical thinking skills, guys. Please.
No one's asking you to go to Night and Day and buy like a 20-pack of eggs for $1 million.
Yeah.
Just, you know, think about where you're purchasing stuff from, guys. You know, you don't need to be like, oh, I spent so much money on beer this week. I guess I'll go to Temu and get these, you know... It'll be the weirdest stuff.
$5 earphones.
Or they'll be like, oh, you know, these knockoff, you know, AirPods and some slippers that look like fish.
Yeah.
I keep seeing those, like, ads on Instagram. They're like, come look at these amazing deals on Temu. I'm like, these amazing deals because there's some poor child suffering to make them.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I saw, like, a kid, like, as young as 4. You know, and like there's it, like, you know, a suit covering her face, and it's so cramped with other kids. Like, it's horrible. Like, it's genuinely not great.
It was so bad. There was an Instagram page that were jokingly saying stuff like, oh, this is my worker. She's worked here for 20 years. This is her average speed rate. And she was pressing like spoons or something, you know, some type of metal through a processor. And they were going, oh, and she's, you know, this is her speed rate. Should I fire her for not being fast enough? And I at first was like, oh, maybe this is a joke in someone's house. And I look through and it's all these different videos of people in a sweatshop.
Oh, my God.
And it was and then people in the comments were like, yep, not fast enough.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, no, these are real people.
Yeah, no.
They're joking, but they will do it.
Thinking of that, right? Like, I hate how, like, technology, while it has so many pros, there's so many cons in that. We don't see people as real people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We see people as products. We see them as a joke. You know, they're using, what was that, mimetic warfare now, like trying to make people, which is basically like using memes about war and like genocide and stuff like that.
To make it so seem that normal.
Yeah, yeah, so that people like laugh about it and think that it's not that serious.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legitimate war plan that is being used online now. That's why you
that's
keep
propaganda,
seeing
that. Guys.
Yeah. And they're, you know, when we learned like stuff about like, you know, World War II, the Nazis, and
yeah,
like,
they would
the
have
posters
like posters,
and like,
they'd be like, "Come join us,
yeah,
Soviet
and
Russia." Blah,
people
blah, blah,
are
blah,
like,
blah.
"Oh, we'd never fall for that. That's ridiculous. That's like, horrible,
guys.
We are falling for it now.
Yeah,
like it's horrible. It's just memes online now. It's I don't know, Trump and Biden Yowie fan fiction or something.
Yeah, or them hopping on the Discord server. You know,
yeah.
And I even caught myself laughing at that once, and then I had to be like. Lock in.
Yeah.
Lock
you know, it's the thing is, I can't even blame too many people about it because it's like this system is designed to keep us engaged and not focused on the things that like keep us united or things that really matter.
The minute I am finished with my promotions job, because one of my jobs right now is I have to promote and coordinate like these Instagram things and marketing stuff. Once I get that, I'm deleting Instagram off my phone because I just realized how much time it consumes, but also how kind of insecure I feel about my own body and stuff. I see...
It's tough.
You know, Instagram models and I'm thinking, oh, why don't I look like her or them or whatever? And one of the things that I was thinking about was back in you know, the 1970s, you would see a 10 out of 10, right? You know, if we were putting them on like a conventional... prettiness scale. You would see 10 out of 10 maybe 4 times in your life and you'd be dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd go, oh, wow, she's so beautiful. But you would think about her for the rest of time. But, you know, nowadays guys see, well, everyone sees, you know, these Instagram models who always look flawless, who always look their best. And cameras have become so advanced that they can, you know, zoom in on every single pore or stray hair and everything. So when you take pictures and you, you know, post these things, you don't feel like the beautiful person you think you were. And these guys are thinking, well, oh, she's like a 6 at best. I need a 10 because I see all these 10s all the time. I'm a high class value male if we're getting into the manosphere, which is another whole discussion.
Yeah.
But these guys sincerely believe that they are entitled to a 10 out of 10 woman who will cook and clean for them and do these things like these trad wives on TikTok and Instagram. I'm like, no, they're just not the average mentality. Mm-hmm. Look at your hometown. I think the best thing.
It's horrible.
If you're struggling with your body imagery, this is what I do. And it feels weird, but I go to a public pool.
Oh, why?
Because I see old people, young people. I see all kinds of bodies. And it's not kind of in like, a, oh, I'm going to go to the public pool and look at people's bodies. It's like.
Yeah, don't do that, guys.
I'm going to look around and see like a community that I'm closely tied with and realize that, like, yes, I have stretch marks. Yes, I have lines on my face and, you know, hair and stuff. And it's okay because so many people do. These Instagram models are not walking off the screen into my living room.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And a lot of them are fabricated. There's filters. There's probably things like plastic surgery, Botox, you know, all
the
these
AI
things.
Models.
That don't, you know what?
What is it? Tilly?
No.
Tilly, the AI actress? Oh.
Guys, you freaking clanker lovers. Never, never get out of my stream.
get out of my stream, guys.
You know what? Let's just. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today, Marnie. We should probably wrap up today before I rage up too much. But
as you end with clankers.
Please don't be a clanker lover, guys. Yeah. Like, just genuinely like.
Goddamn clanker lover.
With a hard R, too.
He said it with a hard R.
But yeah, is there anything that you would like to say to the audience? Because you had a beautiful message there. Like, you know.
I had so many messages, I don't remember what they were.
The one that you just said before about being insecure about your body, being connected being connected by your community and things like that.
Go
That's
to
really
a public
good.
Pool. Go to community spaces. Mm-hmm. I think community in a day and age where technology is, you know, the prime capitalist pig, I guess, in a way. Just go outside, touch grass.
Yeah, no.
Touch grass. And touch grass. Genuinely, when people say that, they don't mean, like, you're so weird, go touch grass, go be outside. It means go connect with people in the real world and understand the multiple perspectives that there are and the multiple people that there are, the bodies, the personalities that you will see and how to engage with them and feel better about yourself and what you want to work on. Because the most important thing isn't this, you know, AI, internet world where you have to be the best. It's about who you are in day-to-day life because people won't remember you for how many likes you got. And I feel silly saying that because that's something they said to us in intermediate. It's not, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's not how many likes you get. It's not how many reposts or followers or whatever you have or how many connections you have with internet celebrities. It is about who you are that people will remember you for. If you're a good friend, good person, that is the key takeaway to life.
That is so good. That is so deep. Thank you so much, Marnie. I'm very appreciating.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. As usual, guys, please be aware of what's going on in the news. Boycott Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Starbucks, Disney, free Palestine, free Sudan, free Congo. And please stay safe, guys. Thank you guys so much. Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amaasri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.